B-Pod Studios.
Serious question. Yeah. Does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Tonight, close your eyes, or tomorrow night, just close your eyes and don't look at them. Just listen.
Milliken, you ever heard this song?
I was closing my eyes to try and picture it, but nothing came to mind.
No, I don't want you to come up with the name of the song. Have you ever heard it?
Oh, yeah, I've heard this before.
Because it was sampled by One Direction?
I didn't know that.
No, you have to be a real moron not to have heard this. Really unaware of anything. Don't quote, don't worry, here it comes.
No, yeah, turn it up, T-Bone. Let him sing along.
Real quick news update before we get back to the hot sports takes.
What?
Good to
What's
see that the police have tracked down the Tailblazers bus out of Wrentham that was stolen yesterday.
I saw that. That was a very scary situation.
That sucker was swerving all the way down 95, I guess, on the run with a dog on it. The dog got back to its original owner, which is good. That place, we've taken Bentley there. So good for those people to get their bus back right there on Route 1 in Wrentham.
The Tailblazers University That's School right. for Dogs bus. Thought for a moment they were maybe at doing a pickup at Zoe's Doggy Daycare.
Someone took the bus and took off, man. Let's go for a joyride road trip.
Did they capture the guy who took, or guy or gal who took the bus?
I guess so. I just saw it on the news.
They did. They tracked
They're
it down.
They're towing it away. Yeah.
Yeah. They were asking for the public's health and finding them. I said, how could you not find this bus? I mean,
it's like stealing an ice cream truck.
How do you miss it? No, it's not, because there are more than one ice cream truck out there. Like,
it's like the Dumb and Dumber.
Right? Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Find the way. Yeah, the dog mobile.
We stole the Mutt Cuts van.
It's a shagging wagon.
What are we doing?
Yep.
How do you not see the Tailblazers University bus? With all the dogs on the side of it. It's a pretty unique vehicle.
Yeah. So you are doing some research here.
Yeah. So Cam, the intern, didn't tell us that he's Stone Freeman approved. Stone Freeman, former URI intern here at the Sports, a very successful broadcaster. He's Stone Freeman approved. I mean, that's sort of a big name to live up to around here, Cam.
Yeah. Got his own podcast.
Got his own podcast.
Stuff looks better than Tyler's and Nate's stuff.
Very well produced podcast you're putting together yourself there. But I haven't listened to it. I don't know if it's any good, but it looks good.
Looks good. Logos, good
Maybe
graphics.
It sounds good too. Will you listen to it? If T-Bone or Milliken can cut it up and make us listen to it, and
we might need it for comedy on a Friday.
Sounds like sounds
like. Why don't you have Beetle on so we can rave about Hardy?
I could do that. Could do that.
He wants to have Scal on.
I hooked that up. We'll take care of that.
Are you a big Scal fan? What is it about Scal that makes him?
He likes basketball.
But is it specific? Like, I want Scal because I love Scal. Is that what it is? Scal fandom.
He's already made Tyler move. This is great.
I mean, I didn't grow up liking the Celtics, but I just huge Scal fan. I don't know why. I really don't know why, but. Took a huge liking to Scal.
All right, huge Scal fan. I think that'll probably be enough to get him on the podcast. That's probably who'd enough.
The Celtics. Who'd you grow up liking?
Ah, you guys are going to hate me. The New York Knicks.
So what?
I don't know if you guys, I mean, obviously Boston fans, but Yeah, get out. Knicks fan my whole life.
So he doesn't really care. He doesn't really have an NBA team.
Yeah.
I actually had Joe Mazzulla, one of the assistant coaches for the Celtics, on my podcast, my first episode.
How'd you land him?
His dad was my coach back in high school.
There, yeah, that's career, good. So.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Johnson High School back in Rhode Island.
Do you like coffee milk?
I do. I do, actually, yeah.
You been to Olneyville?
Get the
wieners?
I have.
Nice.
That's all has about wieners. That's
I bring them in. We'd eat 20 of them. You could the first thing stick this place to. Out.
I'll have my own order of 20. I'll need it in my own order.
This kid's going to make it. He's going to make it here. I like the all accent right. And everything.
Okay, very good. Stone Freeman approved, though. That's big.
Good job, Pauly D.
Jeff is... Oh, this is Jeff in Nashua. Where are you now?
Jeff in Nashua is now testing positive. Still in health and safety protocol.
How do you feel?
How many days
you don't
now?
Sound great.
Just a little fluish. I'm fully vaxxed and boosted. Minor symptoms. Just, you know, just dragging a little bit.
It still sucks, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It just, can we just be done already? But obviously not. So I hope this doesn't affect the Celtics any further, because that would be terrible. But Marcus has the strongest pajama game in the association. There's no doubt about it. It is sweet. And certainly something I would aspire to do later. But as far as the Warriors and Mavs tonight, I think the Warriors are going to slow down Luka. I think they're going to force him to play defense, run double teams at him from his blind side. And I think Wiggins and Klay Thompson will defend him and make things as difficult as possible. Luka's fantastic, but he's a little doughy. And, you know, the Warriors are deep and they're very well conditioned.
So I
think they're going to wear him down, win in six. And then as far as game one for the Celtics, they just ran out of gas. The lazy passes and the sloppiness, they've got to be limited. And Jaylen, again, from the free throw line, 6 of 10 is not going to cut it. But the best advice I heard for Tatum heading into game two tomorrow night came from his kid, Deuce. Deuce just said, Dad, you really need to stop crying to the refs. Like Uncle Grant said, we trust you.
All right, Jeff. The issues at the free throw line for Brown, that's a real concern. What the hell's going on there?
60% for him is not... Yeah. He should be 90. That guy should be 90.
Anytime a guy who's typically a good free throw shooter has issues like that, you're like, oh, is it in his head? Is it mental? What is it? Has he lost it? What's it going to take to get it back? Sit him there in the gym for like 6 hours today and say, just.
How mean he looks.
You love that. You
I love
plays
that.
With an edge. Yeah. You think he's got an edge that you think Tatum lacks. I know. We've heard it. Tom in Boston. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Not a huge fan of the play-in NBA regular season tournament thing. Like, I feel like that works in Europe because, like, things like the FA Cup, theoretically, a low-level team could play in Wembley against, like, one of the huge teams like Liverpool or Man United or whoever. I just don't see that working here. We have one fresh in the league. So, I beyond betting, I don't really see the point at all in this.
Yeah, there's a fundamental difference in the teams that are playing. That if that's what they're looking at, Adam Silver's like, oh, they have midseason tournaments in European soccer. We could do the same thing in the NBA. No, different leagues, different teams, different dynamic. These are all the teams that play each other already, and presumably will be playing against each other in some form at the end of the season in the playoffs. It's not the same. Plus, you're going to have to condition the audience to this. Now, Beetle, to your point, it could work. If the interest is there due to betting and due to advertising dollars and a way to maybe get people like us a little more interested in early season NBA, then fine, they'll still call it a success. But to use what they do with European soccer as the model, it's like you have to, apples and oranges. It's two totally different things. And I just don't mean in terms of geography and the sport. No, the way the leagues are made up and like who's playing in those tournaments, it's different.
And if you win, what do you get as a reward other than just money for players? What else is there? Oh, $1 million per player on the roster. Okay, that doesn't fire me up as a fan. These guys are worth tens of millions of dollars already at a minimum. That doesn't get me excited.
Guys on Max,
they had to spend that $1 million in 24 hours and have no assets to show for
it.
It's a Brewster's Millions tie-in,
right,
I'm telling
you. I know, thank you. But if that's not that, what is it that your team does get out of it in the long run over the course of the season in which the winning actually matters? I think they could make it interesting. I think they could get eyeballs on it, especially with the gambling aspect, especially if players are more motivated at that point in the season to win something is more so than they are at that point in the year on a normal basis. Then, yeah, I could see it. But I just want to know if there's anything that impacts the actual wins, losses, standings. What do you get long term out of that? A couple football things to get to on the Patriots coaching staff, Mac Jones, and something Bert Breer said about Bill Belichick, what he could be doing this coming season. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Let's hear from Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, covers the Patriots. You know Tommy Curran. He's got a little something on what he thinks about Mac Jones in year two and the current coaching situation, all the above. Let's hear this. I'm interested.
So these guys are now going to go in this ramp-up competition audition. It's not an audition and not a competition because Joe doesn't want it to sound like they're competing with each other. But there's still voices, voices, voices.
Can we pause? I love this clip so much already because Curran has the ass about the coaching situation the same way I do about this. Have you noticed I can't let this thing go all offseason? I can't let Zoe. I can't let it go. Zoe let it go months ago. I can't let it go. Hardy, did you let it go? Have you let it go yet?
Yeah.
I can't do it. Can't. I can't get over this, the way they're setting this stupid thing up.
Buckle up, big boy. Let's go. It's coming.
But there's
I've
still
accepted it. Go ahead.
Voices, voices, voices. And I don't think that's the best operation.
I don't know how it could be. Now, I think they luck out in that they have a quarterback who seems mature beyond his years and highly intelligent and has a great grasp of the offense. And if they didn't have that, Tom, if they had one of these other rookie quarterbacks who did not have a great year last year or who barely played last year, then I think you're really asking for trouble. But it can't, I don't know how it helps him. And that to me is, I've talked about this before, I think it's almost right there with winning games in the here and now in 2022 is just making sure your quarterback gets better. That to me is almost as important as winning games, because long term it's going to mean you win more games if a quarterback can get to a certain level. So to just have any haziness there in terms of how things are going to work, I'm not sure how that puts your quarterback in a position to succeed.
Phil, I think, talks about the reason why the Patriots felt confident doing this. Oh, we've got a quarterback who's very mature and has a full grasp of the offense.
Okay.
Right? Which we would all agree. Yeah, he's mature. He is, I think, already proven that he could be a leader of an offense. I think last year they could have let him do more than what he was allowed to do because he's mature and has a firm grasp on things. That's now being used as the rationale to be going down the road of a competition at offensive coordinator. And I think that's wrong. And I think Phil is right when he says that, but I think Phil is wrong when he says, well, you know, it's not going to hurt him. No, it is. In the way he said it was, I don't know how it helps him is what he said. I want to correctly quote him there. I don't know how it helps him. Well, if it's not helping him, then you're doing him a disservice, because it's year two in the NFL for him, and that's when you're supposed to start making sure that your year two quarterback continues to get better, continues to elevate, continues to go in the right direction. There's an expectation of a jump for this kid in year two. And if you're not helping him, then you are hurting him in my book.
I mean, I've told you this. Like, we had a bunch of coordinators, you know, especially Drew's first couple of years. But you always needed that quarterback coach that was that sort of buffer between you and the coordinator, so it would never really get ultimately to Bill. So it would always be handled within that first room before it got to the big room, and then you don't want to go to the head coach with it.
Do you mean, if the head coach, can you you were saying this yesterday, and I meant to stop you. I want to stop you today. Do you mean like problems? Do you mean
just like what
is that about?
I come in, I don't like this play. I don't like this part that's implemented in the offense week. Or, oh man, I'm having a problem with this one read or this protection. I don't understand this protection or this coverage. Can you help me? Can you help me explain cover six more? Why are we calling this against cover six?
Gotcha.
Where I thought this was a man beater route versus a zone. I mean, getting technical here, but okay, that first guy would help, like Chris Palmer would help. Or whether it was Jack Riley with Ernie Zampezi. Before we get to Ernie, we'd go over that with Jack. I want to know what the pecking order would be like if Mac Jones is coming in today and say, I got a problem with this, this, or the way we're calling this. Does he go to Judge with that? Does he go to Matt? Does he go to Bill? Like, does Bill have all the input? And is everybody afraid? I don't want everybody to be afraid of, you know what I mean?
Or not even
if you're walking on eggshells around Bill. Like, they all refer to him as coach. Like,
is he going to go to three or four guys before he gets an answer?
I hope not.
Does he have to bring it to, you know, that could get old.
And this is voices.
Voices.
But that's what like Tom's talking about, like the voices. This is extremely unusual. Like, they're going down a road that is very different. And is this Bill like saying, like, I'm not going this nouveau route, just bringing in a coordinator because this is the hottest guy, but I'm going to assemble football coaches. But I just want to know what the direction is. Do they have a direction, but they're not telling someone or telling us? And I don't understand what the secrecy is. Because, like, okay, say it's going to be Matt that's going to call it, but there's no history of Matt calling plays to say, boy, our opponent's going to get this big jump on us because they're going to go study Matt Patricia's play calling. Joe Judge never called plays. You know, but he was a special teams coordinator. You go watch special teams tape. But I don't understand the secrecy of it all. I really don't. Or is it? I don't know how a veteran would react to this. Like, how are the veteran receivers reacting to this? But they're dealing with Troy, so at least they know who they're going to. Would they do this to Brady? Say 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Josh left, and there were some big job that opened up and Josh took off. And these two guys were lined up coming off unsuccessful head coaching stints elsewhere. But they bring these two guys in and say, Tom, we're going to figure this out. But we're not saying. How long would that stand with Brady? But like, because Mac's a second year guy and it's still new to him that we could do this to a younger player. I don't know if this would work with a veteran
at this stage, though. Brady might not be the best example.
They're all fair questions.
Brady,
right?
Would be like, "Great, I'm not answering to anybody, and I'm now in charge of the offense."
Yeah, no, we're gonna run nine. We're gonna run 80 protection this game.
Would they have done it to year two, Brady?
No, and they didn't. And it took until they got to year six, Brady, before they had the inexperienced coordinator in having Josh McDaniels take over. Yeah. That's right. Josh McDaniels was not the most experienced guy taking over the offense as offensive coordinator. He also was inheriting a quarterback who was a three-time Super Bowl champion. And you want to talk about firm grasp on the offense. Brady was the offense.
Because you hear so much
at that point.
Well, this kid's so far advanced. You know, and he's so smart, which he is. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know, he stuck around to teach Billy O'Brien the Alabama offense. Is he teaching it to Joe Judge?
Well, someone has to teach them.
But
what do you think Brian Hoyer's here for?
Yeah, that's another big point. That's a reason Hoyer's getting the money he's getting, why he's here. He's overseeing a lot of stuff, probably.
Voices.
Man, this better work. This better work.
Voices.
Because I don't buy a lot of the, you know, what we go to, you know, it's a two-spot drill, three-spot drill, and we're all coaching, we're all in this together. Yeah, I mean, I understand that all in a sense. That is true. But it's hard to sell publicly.
I'm worried about Mac backsliding. I'm worried about the team backsliding.
I'm worried about the team backsliding. That's all.
Well, they could go hand in hand. Year two.
Offense is more difficult than defense.
Year two can be harder than year one for quarterbacks.
Usually is. They get film on you. Sort of that bounce back year. That's usually kind of that might make or break year, right?
Well, you also have guys that have had a good first year and they've got a lot of confidence. And they're not as...
Like, look what's happened to Wentz. How he came out, you know, top pick. You know, had what? I think it was his second year. It was a good year when he got hurt, right? That was sort of that jump year. And then it's gone to pot after that. Now, granted, he's making a lot of money, but he's not that good. I don't look at Carson Wentz and say, oh, that's a top 15 guy. You know, I want Mac to be a top 10 guy.
Well, they certainly have the best possible coaching staff around them to make that a reality. That's definitely what's going on right now.
Voices, voices, voices.
Yeah. Voices, voices, voices. Bert Breer also says that Bill Belichick could be calling the plays for the offense that has not yet been ruled out. If that's the case, how do we feel about it? We'll do that and your calls. I see you waiting. We've got some open lines as well. Jump on board now. We'll do all of that right after headlines. Hardy has you covered right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. They bring you insight like no one else can.
Used to have the trainer slap him before every game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Slap me, come on. Slap me harder.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Patricia is going to be the offensive line coach, but some offensive input. And is it Nick Cayley? Is that his name, the tight ends coach?
Yep, tight ends coach, yep. Who was actually, like, blocked from going to the Raiders by the Patriots, but now doesn't seem to have, has like an enhanced role, but I don't know that he's going to factor into the play calling. I mean, I think like we could get to week one, like could Bill be calling the plays? Like, I don't think that's off the table. Whoa. Like I just, this whole thing, I mean, like, and that's the thing, like the most egregious thing about all of this, Michael, the most egregious thing about all of this is Mac Jones in year two. Like, this is a critical year for him. And you look at all the offensive staff from last year, right? The guys who built the offense for him and built it up, Josh McDaniels is gone. Carmen Brasillo, the offensive line coach, is gone. Mick Lombardi, the receivers coach, is gone. Like, they had all these guys that were there that were part of building the offense for Mac Jones and developing Mac Jones, and those guys are gone. And now you're bringing in a couple guys who, I mean, what's their experience coaching on offense?
I'm sorry. Was it known that Nick Cayley was blocked from joining Josh McDaniels with the Raiders?
Yeah, I think Bert's talked about it. I think Bedard's talked about it, that, like, out of respect, Josh would go to Bill and say, hey, this is who I'm interested in taking. I think Bill's fine with him taking anybody but Nick. Like, you take Lombardi, you could take anybody.
Was this widely reported?
I thought it was.
Hardy, did you know this? T-Bone, had you ever heard that? That's what just caught my ear. I did not know this. So that, excuse me, and I apologize if that is out there and is widely known.
Just get Bert on the phone.
I was unaware of that. Yeah. I did not know that. And that just could be my own ignorance, but that's the first time I had heard that. That Nick Cayley, who is the, I would say, the third guy in the mix here on the offensive staff, and has been talked about as the, you know, potential guy to rise and become the offensive coordinator, is a guy who didn't want to be here this offseason and wanted to leave and then got blocked? Is that how that went down? Yeah. Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, and a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore.
And that's where...
What the hell?
Because I thought this was talked about too. Because, like, now how pissed off is he going to be? Because he's not going to be elevated offensive coordinator, but he can't leave or go anywhere.
Right. That would drive me crazy if I were in his shoes.
Now,
like, wait.
Now you're an upset coach.
I've got a chance to make more money and get a better role, and you blocked me, and now I work under two guys who don't coach offense, but now will. and I've got to probably teach them things. Oh, that'll voices with certain voices in the mix not liking the others.
Right.
Holy crap.
I remember, I think Bill's first 3 years in Cleveland, he didn't have an offensive coordinator. And I mentioned this yesterday, too, before Bert said that, too, that I'd be shocked he calls. He has some hand in play calling here, you know?
So that's what Bert said. Bill might still be calling the plays offensively, which, fingers crossed, he is.
Yes.
Yeah, good. I'm all on board. All on board for that. Let's go. Everybody, get on that train. Yep. Hope he is. I hope that's true. I have a hard time believing it will be true, but I hope it is. All right, let's get to these calls. Yeah. What do you say?
Yeah.
Paulie wants to talk about the Who tonight. He's been hanging on to do that. So, Paulie, let's do it.
Hey, what's up, brothers? Listen, I'm sorry about dropping that call the other day. I was in my bat mother's backyard cutting the grass, and she called in, and I had to go. Sorry about that.
All good.
Hardy, I got a couple quick Who stories for you. Back in my heyday, they used to let me waltz right in. Me and my girl had lawn seats. We walked right down the front, and band security, long story short, held four seats right down the front from them. They saw me come in, band security, big dude with a blazer and an earpiece, you know, so we could listen in whoever was talking to him. Came in, held four seats, me and my girl, so we could move and let anybody else into the row. Now, I went to my cousin's retirement party, Boston Fire. It's his brother's kids who run the Feeney and Sons. They swore by the Who when we were growing up. If you said that Paul Carey, he retired, Florian Hall, Dorchester, last Friday night. Ed Kelly was there. Everybody was there. Story, got career. Unbelievable. And if you said a bad thing about the Who to Paul or Tommy Carey, you were dead to them.
Oh, I'd hate to be dead to the Careys. Really, I'd hate that.
I'm not being a jerk. What?
The Who, the security, they saw
the guy with the big black jacket.
They saw
the
those moves. They saw the eyes.
He had the earpiece.
He was giving rocks.
And he's got a hearing.
Gentle when they tackled me.
The security guard. He's got an earpiece because he's got to hear all them. But they saw him coming and said, hey, you crazy guy.
And he had a connection with Daltrey. They had a connection.
Just like he did with Petty.
But he tied it into Florian Hall and Dorchester.
Vibing off him.
Well, he was at Florian for the retirement party.
Remember when he gave Tom Petty the head nod? He knew.
He knew. I heard the Crows are coming back this summer. Did I hear that right?
I already got them in my yard.
Don't.
Ba-da-bump. Ba-da-bump-bump. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Let's see. I'm looking at the tour schedule here for the... they're going to be playing Tanglewood.
And then wait a minute. And then we're George... Oh, that's where... what's his name? Keith Lockhart had to go. For the Pops.
Summertime.
Yes, for the Summertime series.
Summertime Tanglewood. Mm-hmm. The back shit.
Mm-hmm. Bring your stick out. Yep.
Yeah. The Black Crowes are coming to Tanglewood on...
That'll be a fun drive.
June 29th. They'll be in Bridgeport, Connecticut on June 27th.
That's it? That's as close as they get?
Mm-hmm. Oof. It's a lot of driving for Paulie's truck. Let's go to Jim in Cambridge. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going? I had the same problem yesterday. Must have been a 14 ambulance. A cat in a tree, and they had to cut me off. But anyways, my feeling is that right now it's an evaluation period. They're putting Judge and Patriarca, and they're going to just see what the hell is going on for a little while. And someone's going to evolve out of that to be the offensive line coach, the quarterback coach, and they're going to bring in someone from the outside to be the offensive coordinator.
You think that's going to happen before the season?
I think it's going to be happening probably around the OTAs and stuff like that.
Jim, that feels like a slim to none chance, but okay. Yes, the Patriarca crime family will be running the offense
Patriarca.
For the time being. Bob and Easton. Hey, Bob. What's
up? Bob.
Most overblown story I have since the Flategate.
Of course.
No, honestly. To Joe Judge. And Matt Patricia. So you're going to tell me that this is what you guys don't look at. This is what upsets me, that you can't straighten these guys out. They've been around football pretty much their whole life. They know the game of football. So now It's a specialty on the offense and the defense. When these guys were head coaches, you think they weren't in any of the offensive meetings when they were with the Jets and the Lions? And now they were, and they sucked.
And they were terrible.
Okay, hold on. So their only responsibility now is just to be part of the offensive line and call the – under Bill Belichick, like, really, they can't do – they know, guys. They know football. They've been around enough. Like, it's so overblown that – and again, it's also – you know, you're putting the kid Mac Jones down. You think he's not smart enough that he can make decisions and you know, influence or put some input? So that means if you were a head coach and you failed – You can't go back to be a coordinator.
Bob, you are twisting yourself into the most immense pretzel right now, trying to defend what is really not defensive, really indefensible based on NFL standards, that you want to put it on your second-year quarterback to be the guy that has to be creative and have the input on how the offense is going to work, right? You want to put that on a second-year guy, and you also want to say that it's a good thing to have a competition between two different coaches for who can be the offensive coordinator because they've spent their life around football. Do you know how many guys could qualify for the gig if that's all it is? There are a bunch of coaches in this league that have spent a lifetime around football, and they suck still.
But Bob just contradicted himself at the end. He said, these guys, if you fail as a head coach, you can't come back and be a coordinator. They're not coordinators. It's just a bunch of guys standing around coaching a bunch of different position groups and different that's just kind of milling around. It's like coaching by committee. It takes a village.
And their track record is apparently irrelevant. Their track record of running teams and having input on offenses is entirely irrelevant because they've been around football and they've coached under Belichick. Therefore, all of that doesn't matter. I mean, listen to these quotes, though, out of these guys the last couple of days. And, oh, we just want to be complete football coaches and coach football players. When you haven't been around Bill, you've been terrible at it. So I just root for Bill to just take the whole damn thing over. And
which
Bob and Easton should be rooting for the same thing. Because that's the guy that we have some level of faith in to do that and be good at it. I have faith in Bill to be good at just about everything.
It's extremely unusual.
As a coach.
This is not the norm. It's like the perfect storm of, you know, you got a second-year quarterback, all of that. It's up for debate. I mean, I can't refute that.
Have you seen the Patriots' schedule? Do you want to compound the schedule with putting more on Mac Jones's plate in year two?
It's risky.
Because if you do and that you think is a good idea, then we're not going to see eye to eye on a lot as it relates to 2022. Oh, no, that's a great idea. Because the job of being a quarterback in the NFL isn't hard enough right now. The second-year guy, oh, well, he's going to have plenty of input and let him come up with all the ideas on how to make this thing work. That's unfair to him. Straighten me out if you'd like.
I mean, no, I mean, it's, I agree. It's extremely risky. This is not the norm. I think it frustrates people because it's the unknown, the, you know, ooh, the secrecy of it. It may work.
It's not,
and everybody might be a moron.
Go over better.
Hold on. It may work.
I think you're wrong on this. That it's the unknown. If they said Nick Caley's the offensive coordinator, we'd say, well, you know,
there's a plan.
Nick Caley. All right, I'm a little worried about his inexperience, but
he might be the. He might.
I guess that's the next guy.
He might be the play caller and they're running a screen for him. I don't know.
There would be less.
Why are you running a screen for a guy?
There'd be less outrage because Nick Caley doesn't have a track record that we can pick apart. These other two guys have a track record as head coaches.
That's the issue.
They were disasters.
That's the issue people have.
Don't have this long-term background in offense, and what they did do offensively, especially Joe Judge in New York, was bad.
And let's not lose sight of where we started with all this when these guys were coming back, but they weren't named as coordinators. Is it because they have some master plan to coach by committee, or is it they don't want to name coordinators because then they would have to follow Rooney rules and start interviewing from outside the organization and go through all that? You know, that's a lot of time, trouble, money.
The other thing is you got to pay them like coordinators, and that's less money they can siphon off the Lions and the Giants.
So you can,
do that too.
As you said, Beadle, you can twist yourself into a pretzel trying to convince yourself and others that it's a good idea when at the end of the day, it's kind of like the midseason NBA tournament. It's a lot about money.
They're friends and they're cheap. So they're back.
And it's easy. It's easy to just hire guys to come in and be unnamed
Floyd Reese,
coach.
Mike Lombardi.
Well, do we have to interview a bunch of people
Brett Bielma
outside the organization?
No,
minority
just call
candidates?
A couple friends and have them come back and let them get paid by their previous jobs. Who wouldn't want to just hire that way? I'm not in any sort of like anti-Patriots guy. I'm the guy on the island defending their draft right now. So I don't know how you can just twist this into this is a good idea, that this is good, that this isn't worthy of being discussed.
Well, Mac Jones needs more of a voice. He needs to do some more coaching himself. I mean, it is, after all, his second whole year that he'll be
speaking. Voices, voices, voices.
Good job, Tommy Caron. Good job.
Go Pats.
Today's takeaways are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Who has to put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand.
Give it to me. Give
on
it to
98.5, the Sports
give
Hub.
Give me the stuff. That's sweet. Stuff.
All right, it's time for today's takeaway. It's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Whether you're listening in Connecticut, Kentucky, or Canada, you can receive the same great weight loss results with Awaken 180's virtual program online at awaken180weightloss.com. What do we have, T-Bone?
What we have is Zoe's explanation of that sound that you make that I hate. You know that?
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
And you said it was from?
Tracy Morgan meeting Big Ben Wallace.
Yeah, well, you got the Tracy Morgan part right. Everything else is wrong. Here's the commercial.
WZAP, check it. Boom! Ha-ha, I'm here. Straight out of your nightmares.
Excuse me?
Excuse you nothing. I'll excuse you as soon as we play a little football. You understand me, sweet tooth?
You don't play football.
Every day I do. ESPN, NFL, football, with the first person football feature.
Wow! Because I don't play. You know something? Oh, there you go. The little birdie's talking to me. He's saying, Sapp can't mess with you. Sapp too slow.
That would be Warren Sapp, not okay. Ben Wallace. But there's not in a hallway. They're in a locker room.
Okay. Tracy Morgan's wearing half a shirt.
I thought Tracy Morgan had like a headband or like an NBA jersey on a basketball.
There was a Ben Wallace commercial, there
was
too.
There was one, too. Okay, with Ben Wallace. I got confused.
And it wasn't this station that happened at.
I never said it was.
No. Yeah, Louth came down the hall and said, you know.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
I still hate the sound.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
I immediately wanted to find it because Hardy said it bugged him.
He's T-Bone's been feverishly looking for this.
I think it took him about 4 minutes, actually. He found it.
He dropped everything. He dropped everything.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
It is a funny commercial.
You have fun tonight.
But I hate that. I hate the sound.
Have fun at the Hoop.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
That's wonderful. Final reminder to go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Next Tuesday, 10 a.m. is when we will put the foursomes on sale.
You're not doing any more reminders after this?
Just for today. Mm. Final reminder for today. Okay. I'm going to remind everybody every day between now and then. Every single day. 98.5thesportshub.com for the Hoosier Caddy Classic, all to benefit Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Great Hospital.
The reason why you got to keep doing the reminders is it'll sell out in a couple of minutes. Like, I didn't even know. We said it multiple times a show, multiple days.
Correct. So I want to make sure everybody is aware of that so everyone gets their shot to get ready. It's all brought to you by our good friends and strongly supported by 110 Grill and The Long Drink.
Okay.
It's time to go. Zoe's off tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you again on Friday.
All right, guys. See you Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.